Our scripture reading is on the back of your bulletin. It is from Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20, a very familiar passage to all of us. And for this is called the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." May God bless our reading of His Word and our hearing of it. Now, I don't mean to spring this on you, but I have a little information for you. This is the last day of December. It's also the last day of 2017. It's the last Sunday of the whole year of 2017. So with all that we have to think of, we are looking back on this past year. Man, it's all but over. And I guess we could just blissfully leave the past behind and move on. But I think it's just in us naturally that when we come to the end of a year, we just won't have as good a future ahead of us without reflecting sincerely on the past. And part of that is that we don't do real well unless we start a new year sincerely projecting our thoughts into the oncoming year. And that happens when we go into it with some realistic thinking about what this next year may hold for us. Well, here's the crux of all of this as children of God. Whether we reflect on the past or project into the future, we can be assured of God's gracious and helpful presence with us. He spoke to us clearly as the resurrected Son, as Matthew gave it to us in our Bible text for this morning. God is with each of His children always, even unto the very end of the age. And so my sermon title for this morning is a result of those two viewpoints that we can have: looking back and looking forward, retrospective and perspective. And as we explore many thoughts here with both the backward looks and the forward looks, we'll also keep in mind both the physical, psychological aspects and the spiritual aspects of this. Now, retrospective is not a word that we use very much, so I'm beginning here. And I'm just going to give a quick explanation. The word retrospective is used to define looking backward. In this case, looking back on a year that is coming to a close, coming rapidly to a close. Now, thinking of retrospective, I'll suggest to you that there is a group of reflective words that I'll use that deal with the physical and the psychological aspects of our lives. Paul used the word regret. I'm sorry, not regret, forget. Forget. Listen to the familiar Philippians 3:13. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." And he adds on, "and reaching forward to what is ahead." I want to focus on forgetting what is behind. His first thought is to forget those things which are behind. But mind you, to make your reflections of the past fruitful, helpful, forgetting must be thought of in two ways, both positively and negatively. The thought here in this case with Paul is to forget those things that are bad. Every person needs to just sort of cleanse, just wipe away and forget the unpleasant and the unhappy. Such experiences as defeat, disappointment, and guilt are things that should be forgotten. This can be done by an unconditional surrender to Jesus for forgiving and cleansing, as is God's word through John, the first chapter, John 1, 9. He said, if we confess, no, this, I'm sorry, 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And every person, and by the way, that includes you, you sitting there, every person needs to forget the attitudes that make for pride and egotism. The Bible, Proverbs 16:18, says that pride comes before destruction and an arrogant spirit before a fall. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that speaks pretty clearly against pride and egotism. And by the way, I know that you've noticed this, but almost always, and as much as I possibly can, when I speak of what is or what isn't, or what should or what should not, I don't want those ideas to be mine, or in any way to be credited with any of those thoughts or mandates. I always, whenever possible, find those truths in the Word of God, find them in the Bible. As far as I'm concerned, that's the only way that we can count on such ideas to be correct and true, authentic. So, back to the Bible. The Bible also says in James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So we have no real right or call to have personal pride or being egotistical about some good thing that's happened. It didn't originate with us. It came through you as a good gift generated by God. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Mm-hmm. And then thinking of the past, the word remember, it's another word that is used many times in the Bible and also is a very helpful principle as we seek to be retrospective. That can be such a good word if we let it be. Remember. To make the past have productiveness, to give us something to continue to build on or to continue on, it's necessary to remember that we are dependent upon God for all that He has, all that He is. And if we are to move ahead positively with our lives, we also need to remember the blessings, the opportunities of the past year. And let me suggest that one of the most important things we need to remember as the people of God is what we find in the beginning of God's laws. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, if you're with me there, you're thinking about the 10 basic laws of God, of all of our positive living is based on. Verse 12 telling us, be careful to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. That's one of the first things we're to remember. And I have to say, I'm glad you remembered it today. Also out of our text for this morning, and one of the last things Jesus told us to do was to think of what He has always meant to you and remember that's what He will always mean to you. The 20th verse. Remember, He says, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, in one of the translations we often use in our scripture references here, there are at least 225 admonitions throughout the Bible to remember. I didn't read all of them, but I read a bunch of them. Another word that ought to be right there in the mind of each person as we reflect on the past is learn. most honest and intelligent people learn from mistakes, our own mistakes, or as we observe the mistakes of others. Smart and productive people also learn from their achievements and use those lessons to build the future. And dedicated followers of Christ do this best, as I'm going to illustrate for you in a moment from Matthew 11:29. But the great Apostle Paul is an especially good example, as he wrote of his experiences of learning and building on it, both from the good and from the bad. This is how he put it to the church at Philippi, Philippians 4:12. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether we're well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, the good or the bad. He's learned. And our greatest lesson to learn is to learn from the master teacher, Jesus. A moment ago, I referenced Matthew 11:29. It quotes Jesus as teaching this principle: take up my yoke and learn from me, because I'm lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Learn from Jesus. Look is another word that benefits the retrospective, looking back and learning. We need to look with our eyes and with our hearts wide open at what has happened in the past and use that knowledge. A good hard look at the past and an intelligent analysis of it is profitable for every person. The same thing is true of an honest review or a look at what could have happened. Well, that's mostly retrospective ideas or words that deal with just our past year of physical and psychological aspects of our lives. Forget, remember, look, learn. But there's another group of words that applies to the remembrance of the spiritual aspects of our 2017 lives. The first word I want to get to there is awe. It's a word that we can understand as admiration or as respect, in awe of God, wonderment, amazement. Sometimes a biblical word, fear. Reflecting on God's past dealings with us will cause us to stand in awe. Just like it did in the days of the prophet Habakkuk in his chapter 3, verse 2. Habakkuk says, Lord, I have heard the report about you. Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds. He was so much in awe that he wanted it, more of it. He says, revive your work in these years. Make it known in these years. You know, we're amazed when we come to realize how sinful we really are, and the wonderment, the awe that we have of how merciful and long-suffering the Lord is toward us. And then the awe that we are led to leads on to repentance. Conscientious people will turn from their wicked ways after reflecting on the past. To behold in awe God's goodness and our sinfulness in our past will provoke our understanding of our need for repentance. Now, a little personal aside here, if you'll permit me. I got into a discussion yesterday with one of my best friends about a huge billboard that Sue and I had passed on the interstate. It had only three words on it. It was a coal black billboard with large white letters. Top line, reject sin. Second line, repent. And I said to my friend, I actually have a problem with that kind of sign as I think of the lost people of the world. I don't think you reach lost people by the first words that you throw at them tell them how bad they are. I think you need to tell them first about God. about his righteousness, his grace, and his mercy, and then lead them to repentance through a comparison of their life with the righteousness, the majesty, and the grace of God. And thus, then, an understanding of how their life compares to God. And then introduce the mercy of God in his forgiveness through Jesus Christ of the sin that they then look back at and acknowledge. Well, I'm not sure I convinced my friend whose position was you start with their sin and their need and lead them then to God. It was an interesting discussion. But I digress. Just reflect retrospectively on one of the spiritual words that we encounter upon thinking of God over our past year, the word awe, and all of its meanings. And then one of the greatest words in the Christian's vocabulary dealing with the past days of a year is forgiveness. That's almost completely tied to the word mercy. The Bible assures every sinner of God's merciful forgiveness when we confess our past sins. And it is indeed a spiritually healthy experience to be retrospective and to realize that we are forgiven of all of our thousands of sins. King David was sure impressed with how it made him feel. Psalm 32, verse 1, one of his psalms. How joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I feel that way myself. And this is so crucial that even the very ungodly will seek forgiveness. Like the Pharaoh who was in conflict with Moses, but just out of fear. He was one of the ungodly who wanted forgiveness. He said in Exodus 10, please forgive my sin once more, this to Moses, please forgive my sin once more and make an appeal to the Lord your God so that he will just take this death away from me. You're scared to death. And then you have the seekers after righteousness who know that forgiveness of the past is from God. And it's essential to moving ahead with God. Such as we read of in Moses in Numbers chapter 14. Moses wanted to move on. He said, please pardon the iniquity of these people in keeping with the greatness of your faithful love, just as you have forgiven them from Egypt until now. And the other aspect of forgiveness that we must be able to look back positively on is our own record of forgiving others. A very significant teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount has to do with my forgiving others who may have offended me this past year. Did I need to? I need to be a forgiver? Yes, indeed, if I have any need for God to forgive my many sins. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, this very familiar teaching from Jesus, if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. Well, there's probably some more that I could add to the need for retrospection here at the end of the year, but we just don't need to get stuck in the past. So we'll leave the past and we'll move on to the other word, retrospective and perspective. Perspective, as I'm using it here, has the meaning of projecting your thoughts, projecting plans into the future. And I believe the word vision looms very high in our minds as we think about the future. I know you know Proverbs 29:18, which says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And this applies to both individuals and to churches. It's a concept that's embodied in the word that applies to the physical as well as the spiritual. And one word that's prevalent in the minds of many during these days on the eve of a new year is resolution. New Year's resolutions, of course. As a matter of fact, it sure must have been heavily on my own mind, because as you'll see, when you pick up, if you pick up a fresh copy of the Bosquedale newsletter that Darwin so proficiently puts together for us each month, you'll see in the pastor's column, it's about some New Year's resolutions, things that I intend for my future of 2018. And this word resolution implies purpose. For adequate plans to be made and for motivation to get busy on them, there must be purpose. And what better resolution perspective for this new year for you than to receive the good from God as you're called according to his purpose? Right. Romans 8:28, of course. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Psalm 20, verse 4, speaks very clearly to your good resolutions for 2018 as it reads, "May he give you what your heart desires and fulfill your whole purpose." Well, closely related to future resolution is the word determination. This puts firmness into resolutions. Before you can be accomplishing much following today and on into the new year, determination on your part is necessary. Determination involves some planning, putting plans to work, probably some sacrifice by you at various points, and your own personal dedication. All of the same would be true of any resolutions, any future perspectives of our church. To be truly successful in the coming year, a really important food for our subconscious is the image, the thought, the real hope of victory. And that's where we have such a major advantage, both personally and institutionally, on the part of the membership of Bosquedale. You see, the reality is the Christian religion is a triumphant, victorious religion. Jesus, our Lord and Master, came to us to triumph victoriously over evil. He has been, he is, he always will be victorious. And we as his followers have the same assurance. Here are some words that apply to the spiritual realm that are applicable to a forward perspective, forward-looking perspective attitude. Holy Spirit, pray and obey. Paul said to the Ephesians, and he said to us as we move into the new year, Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. This means for any follower of Christ to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. This is something we say, but to open up and be really controlled by God's Spirit is a must in order to have great accomplishments in the future and kingdom work. Paul also wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and again, less to us. He said, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. The personal example of Jesus has much to teach us. At critical points in his life, we read in the gospel of the Son of God going to his Father in prayer. And we know that he must have done that so much more than we have a record of. Prayer takes on the aspects of eternity and is truly a must for any and all of us to make the incoming year a fruitful one, both personally and collectively. Mm-hmm. Obedience, obey. Obedience to God's will is the next word for our great desires for next year, our perspective. Whatever he says, do. Wherever he leads, follow. Obey. Even as a young boy, Jesus set a powerful example of obedience for us to follow. Luke's gospel tells us of the story of young Jesus going to the holy city of Jerusalem, to the temple, we think probably for the first time. And as he is in the temple, the word obedience is not used, but doing what his heavenly Father wanted him to do is indicated in his words to his earthly parents. Luke 2:49. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And Luke continues the story by seeing the young lad Jesus returning home from Jerusalem and showing the same obedience to his earthly parents. Verse 51. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And Paul gives prominence to the lifelong obedience of Jesus to the plan of salvation. Writing to the Philippians, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And as we look toward obeying God in this next year, Paul helps us to define how correct obedience compares to obedience to the wiles of sin. Romans 6:16. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slave to the one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Complete obedience is our assurance of a full and meaningful life. One last word. There's a word that stands between retrospective and perspective, and that word is now. Now is between the past and the future. To make good use of the past, to anticipate the future, we need to act now. The past is gone, the future is yet to come. We must learn our lessons from the past and start preparing now to be ready for the future. God has spoken in the past and has worked in the past, but he also has plans for the future. Now is the time to respond to the voice of his Holy Spirit to start future plans in motion in the now. 2017, the year almost gone. As you reflect on this past year and on God's goodness to him, to you, give him your thanks. 2018, the year that's just about to start. As you look forward to the year just ahead, surrender your life to him. I saw another sign yesterday as I drove. It said Jesus came as a baby. He's going to come again as king. I was a little confused. I thought I read that he was born king of the Jews. Well, whatever. I just want to suggest to you that whether it's away in a manger or whether it's the king leading us for eternity, put your hand in the nail-scarred hand and sing, "Lead on, O King Eternal."